Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket, online at WTK.com. The Miz Man, Jay-Z, is here. We're calling him Jay-Z Morris because he... So Jamie forgot his sunglasses over the weekend. He forgets a lot of things. And I think he texted, Friday after the M Zone had finished up?
Right.
And he had said, "Hey guys, Harry Body, I forgot my sunglasses. Can you guys see if they're here?" I'm like, "We can check later." And I think he might have, we found them. So Jay-Z, I think, is just sending him a bunch of pics with him on and all that fun stuff. But we're back here Sunday morning. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Babs is on the other side, run the ones and twos.
Josh Babbitt.
Yep, Josh Babbitt. Also, his brother was here on Friday before they went to the hockey.
Babbitt.
Is it Justin? That's your brother?
Yeah, both of them.
Okay, so Josh used to work here. Jacob works here now. Justin's going to be working here in about 5 months when he's an intern, probably.
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 I mean, he's still in high school, but he could probably find it in his schedule.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll find a way. I think we brought in a high school kid one time before. Phone lines are open, so we can take your phone calls at 734-998-1050. Let's go to the phones right now and talk to JJ in Lincoln Park. What up, JJ?
Hey, it's another day in the greatest planet, in the greatest state, in the greatest country, listening to the sports accolades of the greatest university. Where else would you rather be, guys? Where else?
Amen.
I know. Well, I'm glad we're not going over last Sunday's predictions for the games about how many yards and all the stats we're going to put up, because I don't think any of us saw what happened last Monday. So we won't even talk about that. Just onward and upward for our mighty Wolverine Warriors. But I would like to mention to anybody, you're talking about going to the girls' basketball game next Saturday, the men's swim team for the dual meet championship, the top two teams in the Big Ten. Indiana got us last year down in Indiana. We swim them Sunday. I think it starts at 11 or noon next Saturday. If anybody needs something to do, go on and cheer the men's swim team, because unless you're a friend or a family, there's not too many people that go to that event. I plan on being there, and I'm cheering on Mike Bottom and the men's tankers, and I will just say this. It's good watching. It's warm in the pool, so you won't be cold, and you'll have a fun time there. And so just cheer on our, because they've won more Big Ten championships and more national championships than any other team. So they've had a lot of success going back to the days of Fielding Yost. So that's what I got to say, and I want to say, go Blue, Happy New Year, and thank you for making 2017 a great year for what you guys did. And I'm very proud to have cheered on the men's basketball team yesterday. John Beilein is surely a great coach, and you can tell by the improvement that he makes in his players from the time they come onto campus to the time that they graduate. So you can see it right on the court, and that's pretty nice to see that when you have a successful coach doing that. And so we should not take him for granted, because when I look back in my life of all the coaches I took for granted, they don't realize how great it is and how great they are until they're gone. Just think of one Nick Lindstrom and how great he was. You took him for granted because he was there doing his stuff every day on the ice for our beloved Winged Wheelers, and now he's gone. So take time to smell the roses in 2018. We didn't have a good season in 2017 for football, but you know what? It could be worse. We could have a different coach, and we're moving in the right direction. So keep up the good work on your station, guys, and I love you. Go Blue.
Thanks, JJ. Appreciate it. And, like you said, swimming has got a big meet on Saturday the 13th, which I'm kind of glad you mentioned it. Got to give a shout-out to the gymnastics team pulling off the upset at home against Alabama, number 4-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. They had their meet, when was it? Thursday, I believe it was, I think.
Right.
Yeah, so they pulled off the upset. Congratulations to the gymnastics team pulling off a big upset as well at home. So good for them. And, to kind of pull a Jamie Morris here, they had a little stat on ESPN that yesterday they call in the Blue Bloods, being Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky, all lost yesterday. All three teams lost. And the only time
in gymnastics?
In men's basketball.
Oh.
In men's basketball. I'm sorry. I probably should have been specific about that.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to help me out.
I'm sorry about that. You got Jamie's glasses there.
Right.
So that's one reason why you're having a problem.
Good stuff.
More good stuff. But that's the first time they've lost since 97. So that
all,
just...
All on the same day?
All on the same day.
Interesting.
It is very interesting and funny. Now we segue away from the basketball, and we segue to something that we all know and, well, we probably won't like because the Lions aren't in it, and that is the NFL playoffs wild card. Football started up yesterday afternoon with the Titans and the Chiefs in Kansas City, and it wrapped up with Falcons and Rams yesterday. Titans... At first, you would have thought that this was just going to be a blowout with Kansas City just rolling the Titans up 21-3 going into half. But the big problem that occurred in the game was the loss of Travis Kelce, or no, I'm sorry, the loss of just the loss of Kelce for the Chiefs, and that really kind of halted anything when it came to just any kind of offense from the Chiefs. And 19 unanswered points by the Tennessee Titans. At first, if you watched the game, especially in the fourth quarter when the Titans were trying to draw out the time and just try to end it and ice it, it looked like Derrick Henry almost fumbled the ball. It came real close to fumbling, and upon a lot of video review, they came back and said that he was down by contact, was second down. Chiefs took a timeout. Eventually, Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry eventually ran out the clock. And the Tennessee Titans coming in 9-7 on the year, winning, getting in on the last day of the regular season, knock off the Kansas City Chiefs 22-21. Hell of a game. It was a hell of a game, Jay-Z.
Yeah, I thought when I, at halftime, it was domination. You figure that crowd's going to be crazy enough. There's no chance, really, the Titans are going to come back. I was finally taking down my Christmas tree. Maybe that was what turned the tide. But Tennessee, like they said, Mariota said in the locker room, they didn't change anything. It was all about, hey, we know we have 30 minutes to play. Let's keep playing our game. With Kelce being out, I don't know why it seemed. You're right. It did seem like they took a step back after that happened. And obviously, I don't think he's – like Gronk level. I mean, he was the second best tight end in fantasy football. But to me, I don't see why that offense revolves around him. Obviously, they should have been able to, run the ball. And then they have other guys on the team, Hunt, Hill. Robinson had 57 yards. Wilson had 47. But yeah, you're right. It just seemed like at halftime, maybe the Chiefs just thought, hey, we got it too. Shut it down. And then Titans were able to come back And yes, I was watching when they, all of a sudden he picks up, runs into the end zone, and the crowd's going crazy. And you, for being a Chiefs fan, you're hoping that, it's over, and they switch that tide and being down 22-21, and this is the way it's going to end with a minute 47 to go. And no, he was down. You saw after they say, forward progress or whatever, he was down. He takes a knee himself, Henry does, and because he had a great game. Said that he ran soft the week before. He certainly didn't yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he was really the only running back that, or the only rushing that that the Titans had. DeMarco Murray was not in for the game, so it was basically the Derrick Henry running show. 156 yards, had himself a rushing touchdown, averaging 6.8 yards per carry. Studley, and then Marcus Mariota, 46 yards on the ground, but he had one of the freakiest touchdowns. Yep. That was scored in a playoff game, I think, that I can recall.
Do you get double fantasy points for that?
I would have, you know what? I don't know.
I know it's over, fantasy's over, but.
Well, you know what? I think they do, like, postseason fantasy football, and I would imagine that he gets not just a passing, but a receiving touchdown on one of the freakiest touchdowns that has probably been seen in playoff football. Marcus Mariota, driving down in the third quarter, threw a pass, was deflected, caught by Marcus Mariota, and ran in for a 6-yard touchdown pass So it literally went into the playbook. Marcus Mariota, touchdown, 6 yards from Marcus Mariota.
And it's so weird because his foot was on the line of scrimmage when he threw it. Obviously, it gets batted down. I believe Peters was the one that batted it back toward him. Mm-hmm. The lineman actually just pushes him off to kind of like, get away, kind of just to knock him down. And it helps him actually catch the ball.
Now, what's left to figure out is who they play next. Obviously, the 5 seed, they have to figure out what happens in the game coming up later today. At 1 o'clock, it is the Buffalo Bills traveling to Jacksonville to take on the Jags. Jacksonville, the top-ranked defense in the NFL, taking on the Buffalo Bills, who are sending over 1,400 Buffalo wings to Cincinnati thanks to them knocking off the Baltimore Ravens. Babs, your thoughts on that first game yesterday, as far as just in general, your thoughts on it?
I mean, that's a heck of a way to kick off the NFL playoffs for sure. Again, the play by Mariota was just beyond crazy. And then, again, talking about momentum earlier, that was kind of another type of play. Again, really all it takes in sports is one play, and things can shift just like that. And I don't know, there's some questionable officiating. I thought it was pretty brutal at points. And the commentating was hilarious too, especially on when they were running back that potential game-winning touchdown for Kansas City.
Oh yeah,
the amount of voice cracks that went on was pretty funny, and you know them crying about John Gruden, which I missed, but because John Gruden's taking the Oakland job.
That's right.
But very entertaining game. Again, that's what playoff football should be, and hopefully we get two more of those today. I'm honestly looking forward to watching the Jags and the Bills, and Bills Mafia. I think that'll be a fun game. And then the third matchup of the year for, you know, Panthers-Saints will also be, that'll be interesting to see what happens in that game too.
Hide the tables, hide the lighter fluid down in Jacksonville, because I am more than confident that Bills Mafia is going to be showing up down in North Florida. Before we get to that game, the second game from yesterday, the Atlanta Falcons, the defending NFC champions, against the LA Rams in Los Angeles. First playoff game in the city of Los Angeles and since 1993, when it was the Los Angeles Raiders that were playing at the Coliseum. I honestly thought that this game that it was the Rams' game to lose, and come to find out, it really was. And to be honest with you guys, I think the big thing from that game yesterday to kind of take away was the fact that the field conditions in that game were horrendous. If you're watching the game, it looked like that it was like a golf course that no one decided to patch up after like 15 rounds of golf. The field was all chopped up. There were a couple times where you watched Matt Ryan throw a couple of passes, and he's slipping on the turf. It looked like he could have pulled a groin on a couple of them. A lot of defenders slipping all over the place. It really looked like there was a huge rainstorm that happened like leading up to the morning, leading up to the night of the game, and then just said, okay, going out there and play. But come to find out, the only time that the turf was messed with was right after the USC-UCLA game, as far as that's what they were saying on the TV coverage. But Atlanta Falcons, apparently the hangover is not with them as of right now. We'll see if the hangover continues on when they take on the Eagles next weekend. But they knocked off the Rams 26-13 in that contest. Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, 218 yards through the air, had himself a touchdown pass. Jared Goff also had a touchdown pass with 259 through the air. But really, the game, it really kind of came down to the secondary play of the Atlanta Falcons. They shut things down. Mind you that, the Rams had 24 catches on the game, in the game for 259 yards through the air. But they came up clutch in the times and they needed to, especially on a fourth down play as the Rams were trying to get back within one possession of the Atlanta Falcons. But a few interesting plays, a few interesting calls, a lot of reviews when I was watching it, I kind of scratched my head too. But that's just how this era's of NFL kind of is going right now. your guys' thoughts on that second game between the Falcons and the Rams in general.
Yeah, I thought the Falcons just did enough, and like you said, it was their defense stopping Gurley. He had 101 yards, but had 33 on his longest. They shut him down, and because of that, the passing game had to open up. A lot of targets there. I believe Gurley also had two drops. He only had one all season, and two in just the game, because of that, the Falcons' defense was just that tough. Goff, his first playoff game ever. You know, he didn't do bad, but I feel like everything goes through Gurley, and if he was able to not slip as much as he did yesterday, he would have been able to gain more, but they did what they needed to do. It was on their home field. Matty Ice a little banged up during the game, but yeah, I mean, pretty much running as much as they did. I believe 33 times. Jones had one, and then Jones, of his 10 targets, 9 catches, 94 yards, and TD as well. They did what they needed to do. Looked pretty good doing it.
Babs?
Yeah, again, the defense for Atlanta really was the difference. I wouldn't say they really stopped Todd Gurley, more like slowed him down pretty much. I don't know. I think if you go over 100 yards, you have a decent game.
But one of them was 33.
Well, yeah.
I mean, 60-some.
So if you, okay, yeah, if you divide it, 66 or whatever. But anyway, I was cheering for the Rams. I kind of wanted to see them continue this season because obviously, I mean, they exceeded a lot of expectations this year, especially with a coach that's the youngest coach in the league at 31. There's a lot of talent there. I think they're a team that, you know, give them a couple years and they can probably make a run. I think if you get Jared Goff, maybe, you know, a number one type receiver, because you got Sammy Watkins, but I don't think he's, you know, that elite type wide receiver that, you know, a Julio Jones might be. So I think if you give him a big play receiver, I think Jared Goff will be fine and that offense will be fine. But yeah, another good game. Matty Ice coming up clutch yesterday. Really the big three, Ice, Freeman, Ice, Freeman, and Julio Jones all played well and really carried that offense yesterday.
Yeah, I think one of the other big things besides the defense, you know, the secondary for the Rams, or the for the Falcons, I should say, was the fact that the Rams just couldn't seem to catch a ball. You had Robert Woods. He was targeted 14 times, only caught 9 of those passes. Cooper Kupp, targeted 13 times, only caught 8 of those passes. Sammy Watkins, 1 reception on 4 targets. Tyler Higbee almost had a touchdown that got the Rams within one possession, but that did not go his way. And Todd Gurley, like Jay-Z was saying, 10 targets, 4 receptions on the game, and you know he just did not really count for much, considering he was touted as one of the best. He was touted as being the MVP of the league, but the Falcons move on. They'll take on the Eagles next week in Philadelphia, which then leads to the two games coming up later today. The Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars down in Jacksonville at 105. And the Saints hosting the Panthers at 440 down in New Orleans. You can catch both of those games on our sister station, 1290 WOBY. We'll preview that, plus we'll also get into previewing the big game that's happening on Monday on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Playground, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, The Ticket.